I guess, is it five? Should
yeah,
we start?
We might as well get started. So, you know, okay. Will's already gotten started up
here.
Sorry.
But now I'm mic'd.
This is, as you can tell, is going to be a pretty informal session. Just a chance for Will to kind of, you know, spew out and give us a sense of how the whole Deadspin thing works from the blogging aspect of it. My name is Edward Cosette. If you're wondering who I am from the program, it looks like I'm just like a corporate guy. I actually have been in the sports blogging world for a while. I did a site called Bambino's Curse for several years. Like, I was syndicated by Fox Sports, blah, blah, blah. It's not about me. It's about Will. So without further ado, Will Leach, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, jeez. Thank you. I'd rather it be about you. Hi, everyone. Thank you guys for coming. This is like, I'm told we had like the worst time slot. Like, this was the last one. And I'm very honored. I'm told this is on like a podcast. Is someone, where's that? Oh, hi. No, you're just filming for fun? Okay. Wherever the podcast person is, just focus on Edward. Hi, thank you for coming. I'm Will. I do Deadspin. I am the sports arm of the Gawker Media empire. Corporate blogging still sucks. I don't know. I saw someone with a T-shirt that had that on last night, and I didn't really understand what it meant. But anyway, so I'm here to we're going to chat about the Deadspin and the sports world. Hopefully, it's going to be fun. I'll be honest. I've been so busy working. The NCAA tournament pairings came out Sunday, and it's go Illini. Go Illini. Clearly deserve that 12th seed. I just hope. What's that? Yeah, well, you haven't seen Illinois play. They're really not very good. They absolutely cannot score. So I've been so busy working on stuff this week. I've been in my hotel almost the entire time. I've had friends. I live in Brooklyn, and I've had friends of mine say, "Hey, so how's Austin?" And I was like, "Well, you know, from the hotel, it looks like, you know, Boise." Or Paris, like, you know, like, it could be anywhere, really, because I've just kind of been at the hotel the whole time. But so forgive me, you guys are like the first human beings I've talked to in like 4 days. so
not that we can tell, no.
Yeah, sorry. But anyway, so yeah, basically, I guess I'll just talk about how I'd never actually blogged before. I used to run a site called The Black Table. Which was like an online journalism site. It was basically me and three other friends of mine that were all covering doing financial trade publication jobs, and those suck. and I'm not very good at it either. I have a really hard time like convincing my editors that I cared what Morgan Stanley was doing with their investment, whatever those they do over there. And I was a very good reporter. And so we all got very frustrated and started this own online magazine called The Black Table. And basically it was just like, you know, interesting journalism. It was not a blog. And it was just interesting daily, updated daily, two or three stories a day of like assigned pieces or pieces we'd written or so on. And that kind of, and it, you know, it launched actually around the same time that Gawker.com did. So they kind of took notice of us, and then so then after that we got a little bit of a readership on college campuses, even though we were so old. and then Gawker Media saw the site, and they asked me to do. They asked if I'd be interested in doing a gambling site. And my dear little secret is I actually think gambling on sports is wrong and ruins the fun of sports, which has made me a horrible person to do a gambling site. So I ended up said, well, you guys should do a sports site. And I kind of mapped out how it would look and some of the ideas. And I think they were kind of wary of it because, you know, it's Gawker. They don't watch a lot of sports over there. And so they were just like, whatever, give this plucky kid a start. and then it's funny because people have said that, like, you know, wow, Deadspin's gotten so big so fast. But like when you compare it to like other Gawker sites, I'm in like fifth or sixth. Like I'm like small cheese to them because most sites have like three. One of the differences between my site and a lot of their other sites is most of the sites have like three or four or five or six or so on people all working on it. And because when I started Deadspin, they didn't really think anything was going to happen with it, and I think they were just indulging me. So I think they still are, but because of that, I've been able to retain a lot of autonomy. So it's just been me. I have Rick Chandler, the associate editor, who does some stuff for me. But I've been able to have like complete control over the site. So if it sucks, sorry. And why'd you come here? So that's basically how I got going. And my main thing that I wanted to do with it when I started was I don't. consider myself an expert on sports at all. I actually don't really feel like I know it. Like, the founding principles of the site is the vast majority of people who call themselves experts about sports don't know anything more. Like, by definition, they don't know anything more than the rest of us do. Like, sure, maybe they go to the locker room occasionally and, you know, someone says their groin hurts or something. And, but like, on the whole, your average columnist, your average someone, I don't really feel like there's anything expert about them. So I certainly did not want it to be, hey, everybody, come hear what I have to say about sports, and let's debate it. Like we're at a sports bar. You know, like, I thought that was, like, kind of cheesy and so on. So I really like the idea a lot more of just, like, there's so much – it seemed like there was so much good sports stuff on the web that I felt like no one was seeing. So to me, like, it was very exciting to me just to point other people to stuff. And so that's why I feel like more – it's like I'm more of, like – I'm less like a columnist than just like a ringleader or just like a traffic cop or a game show host. Actually, it's probably the best way to put it.
Well, but, just to interject here.
Thank you.
A question there. Do you have in your mind – I mean, the Deadspin's pretty – there is real sports news on there as in addition to – you know, the Peyton Manning stuff, in addition to the goofy stuff. And there seems to be a pretty good blend. It never becomes all of one or all of the other. Yeah. Do you make a conscious effort? I mean, do you one day say, you know what, we've got too many, you know, lesbian cheerleader stories. Yeah, we need to put some real sports
there's
in there.
There's definitely a preponderance of those. And, I wanted the idea, like, I wanted it to be a site that people could actually go to that, like, the way people actually talk about sports, and that, like, there's not a matter of, like, okay, here's our stats section, here's our so-on section. I really wanted it to be, like whatever people are actually talking about, whether it's Peyton Manning pictures, or it's the tournament, or it's the game last night, or whatever. Like, I wanted to actually kind of accurately represent what sports fans are actually talking about. And almost just, as I said, just put on a platter for that and just kind of say, okay, here's this. And it's fun to find stuff like this. I love finding stuff like this. The guy that actually had this was actually at the party and sent those. And I love when stuff like that happens. But, like, I wanted to – I feel really stupid if something big happens in sports and I don't have anything to say about it, even if it's, like, not funny or wacky or so on. Like, this is why I no longer take lunch. I went to lunch one day. Lunch is for the week. I think Gordon Gekko said that. And coffee's for clothes. I don't know. I'm getting all my 80s, 90s. Anyway. But I went to lunch one day. When I came back, the Sports Illustrated Barry Bonds steroid story had broken the Game of Shadows thing. And it was funny because you know, one of the things I'm doing right now is, you know, the site's actually posting until like 7:30 tonight. There will be a couple posts that will go up while we're talking here. So I'd done that over lunch, and I came back and I had like 200 emails like, hey, well, are you gonna mention the Bonds thing? And I felt like such an ass. So I don't take lunch anymore. And but that was the thing, is I really feel like it's, even if there's something funny to say about it, or if it's not like I didn't want to turn the site into the way I think a lot of blogs fall into, is here's something going on in the world. Doesn't it suck? Is it terrible? Like, I didn't want to turn into that. Like, I don't, like, sports are supposed to be fun. Like, that's the thing, is that, like, I don't ever want, I, you know, I used to work as a sports reporter, and I, you know, sat in the press box and did all that and everything, and it was just not fun at all. And, like, not only was it not fun, but definitely no one else was having fun. Mm-hmm. And, like, I never understood the idea. Like, I know, professionally speaking, you're not supposed to cheer in the press box. You're supposed to, you know, be in it. Everyone in all sports reports pretend they're, like, impartial observers or something, like they're Woodward or something. And that's Bob. And not Joanne. though I've seen a few people actually impersonate Joanna Woodward. Anyway, Mariotti, I think. Sorry, I got off topic. But like, I didn't understand the idea of, like, the definition of being a sports fan. To me, the fun part is that, like, you know, it makes me want to jump up and yell or throw things or do things that are completely inappropriate in any other part of my life whatsoever. And as I can get those things out, I'm a mild-mannered sort. I'm an affable fellow. And but in sports, you can, you know, you're so chimed in the emotions that, like, it's supposed to be fun. It's entertainment. That is all it is. And so when I saw people in the press box, like, this amazingly exciting thing would happen, and they would all be like, I was just like, you guys are not sports. I couldn't believe that they were somehow the the conduit between the fans who are making everything happen and the games that are actually going on. So I kind of wanted to bridge that gap a little bit. That was actually one of the ideas of it, is just kind of like the thing I like about the site is so much, particularly, and well, I'm sure we'll talk about this a bit, the commenters. I think it's not like, I feel one of the things I really like about Deadspin is that I think a lot of readership really feels like they are a part of it, because they are like, you know, that's like they are as big a part of it, much bigger part of it than I am. So to me, that was always the idea, is that, like, I mean, people forget that, like, you know, we're the boss. Like, sports fans, the only reason anything happens in sports whatsoever is because we pay for everything. Like, everyone forgets that. Everyone, like, anytime you ever see, like, a commercial or something with a fan, they've got their face painted, or they're choosing between the beer and the girl, you know, and they always choose the beer, of course, because you can't do prostitution ads on television, so beer has an automatic advantage. But yet, in the future, yeah, prostitution's wrong, actually. I want to make that clear. But that's the thing, is that, like, I feel like the way, when you look at the way that people that run sports, whether it's the media or whether it's the players, or whether it's the networks or whether it's the leagues, the way they actually view fans is in such a, you're an idiotic, drooling, screaming, you know, moron. And I don't think that's true. And I've never really liked that idea that, like, somehow, like, we are your boss. We are the reason that this happens. Like, no other entertainment industry treats like the consumers as if they're just this throbbing mass of idiots and that just happily hand over money all the time. So I wanted to kind of bridge that gap a little bit.
I'm going to hit you with a hard-hitting one then. Right now.
Isn't it true?
do you ever fear then that Deadspin actually in some ways perpetuates the myth of the stupid sports fan? I'm thinking in particular of the shot of the was it West Virginia, of the guy taking a dump in the stands. Well, with the band.
Well, I don't think the average Deadspin reader, and I could be wrong on this, I don't think the average person saw this like, oh, good idea. I never thought of that. I hope not. Yeah. I mean, I had that, but I'm not the average sports fan. I don't think that. And I think that, like, I think you can tell it from not just what I think that my take on things is, but usually, like, yes, I'm not going to, like, get too hot. We're not doing the Inferno here. You know, I mean, that's a smart book by Dant, I think, something like that. Deadspin certainly has its fair share of fart jokes and limericks. I don't think we've ever had a limerick, actually. But so I'm not gonna like act like, you know, like I never go for the lowest common denominator joke. But I do think that the general level of discourse and the general angle of the whole thing, I think, is definitely more of a. Is more of that idea, more of the idea that, like, we're not just screaming, face painting. The guy on Seinfeld, the putty. Yeah. Thank you. Like, it's all about the team. This show's so funny still. So that kind of idea, I kind of like that idea, and I think that a lot of that, and I think it's important to remember that, like, the average sports fan. This is not our entire lives. Like, I think by definition, anyone that's actually involved in the business of sports, whether they're a player, whether they're a media member, whether they're a coach or anything, they by definition think sports is a hell of a lot more important than it actually is. And so that comes across, and that's why you get these like soft focus, like here's the adversity that they've overcome. You know, they have to like somehow justify to themselves that sports is important enough that they've devoted their entire lives to it. But it's not. like it's not. It's just entertainment. It's just a diversion, and it's a great diversion, and I love that diversion, but that's all it is. It's something that we use to get away from how the rest of life sucks. And so and I feel like that's one of the things that, like, that's why I try to, I think the key to the site is the fun aspect, because it's not something that really you can take all the, it's sports, you know, you take it seriously for while the game's on, and you throw things, and then when it's over, you know, you move on to something else that makes you miserable.
So you don't buy any like the Abe Barlagiamati kind of stuff, like the setup that Paradise book he wrote.
Yeah.
Big Time for Paradise.
Yeah. It's funny because everyone tries to channel their inner Giamatti in spring training. That's the big thing.
It's like, so true.
The smell of freshly cut grass and so on. And I guarantee you, every sports writer has used that line at least once about spring training. And like, listen, I understand. Like, there are certain things I'm deeply emotional about sports. Like, I'm a Cardinals fan. I'm sorry. I absolutely do not want the season to start, by the way. I hope there's rainouts to like July and they cancel the season. Because they won the World Series. They're still the champs. Yeah, I don't care. You guys, I can't get into baseball at all right now. Just like, anyway, but like, you know, in my family, like the Cardinals are the religion. Like that. I think most people that are real big fans of sports, like maybe you actually have a religion, you know, and worship a higher being or something. But in our family, like the Cardinals are the religion. And they invest everything that we do. Inevitably, I get some sort of cardinal related thing for every holiday. So but I can take that seriously. I can get that emotional thing when I go to Busch Stadium and I see all these things remind me of my youth and so on. I don't think, but that's something that's so specific to every single person. It's common in that we all have that thing, but we all have our different things that we care about and different things that we remember. I don't think that to me is different than what the way a lot of the mainstream media covers it. I hate the term mainstream media, by the way. I'm sorry I just did that. the suits. but I feel like that's like, yeah, I mean, frankly, that kind of the idea of this religion is one of the reasons that we keep giving them money, even though they do whatever. This MLB DirecTV deal is absurd. Right. Like, they basically have done this because we don't have a choice. I don't know if you guys know about this, how familiar you are with it, but basically Major League Baseball, like the NFL, and like March Madness, actually, have signed an exclusive deal just to if you want to get out-of-market games, which is someone that lives in Brooklyn and is a Cardinals fan, I'm obviously one of those people, you have to switch to DirecTV. And I understood that for, like, football, because it's one day a week and so on. But baseball, it's such a regular part of your life. And they did that just because DirecTV paid them more money. Like, by definition. And I understand, listen, everybody's going to make a dollar. I understand that. But, like, they feed off that kind of idea that, like, you know what, there's no way that tomorrow I'm going to be like, you know what, I've had it enough, I don't like baseball anymore. Like, they, and even with the strike, they didn't have it with the strike either. Like, they know that they can do it, so they do. And so to me, like, that kind of emotional attachment to it is something I actually keep separate from Deadspin, except when the Cardinals win the World Series. But because I really feel like that's something that's so specific to one person that, like, to me, the actual, even that's a diversion. Even that's a diversion from, at the end of the day, like, you know, I think like a lot of people, the first 5 to 10 minutes of every conversation I ever have with my father is about the Illini or the Cardinals. And then after that, we've like, okay, we've acknowledged that we actually have we are human beings that know each other and can discuss things, and then we'll go to talk about I don't know, what do people talk, girls, life, flowers.
All right, I want another question I have. And by the way, we will turn this over at some point to your questions as well.
I hate wearing this badge.
Getting back to the mainstream media angle, one of the complaints, especially I guess that all the mainstream media has it against bloggers, but I hear it a lot from sports writers, is that the bloggers can't be trusted, and heaven forbid if they ever were to actually interview a player, because they would they'd go to the lowest common denominator. Do you have stories that have come up that you just won't cover because they are too down, or is everything's on?
I think everything can be covered. I'm certainly not gonna, like, there's certain things I'm not gonna be like, aha, boy, look at this idiot who died. Sure. I'm not gonna do that. But like, I do feel like I've tried to keep the site flexible enough that if there is something serious that happens, I can cover it without. And it's been encouraging because the Deadspin commenters are renowned for having a fun sense of humor and running with stuff. But usually you don't see, like, I always think last year when Tony Dungy's son committed suicide, like, that's something, like, I can't just ignore that story. And I just have to trust that, like, you know, what I've done on a regular basis and what the comments on a regular basis, I'm not going to put that up there and everyone be like, and everyone just make, like, off good jokes. And they haven't. And so... Speaking of the idea of bloggers can't be trusted and so on, I never quite understood that, because like when a newspaper reporter makes a mistake, they can bury it 4 or 5 days later on the inside of page 15C, and no one will ever know about it. And to me, it's out there. It's out there for everyone to see forever. And people have asked, like, do you feel like you have to do something for the credibility of blogs? Like, I don't really, it's a medium. Like, that's all that it is. Like, in 15 years, it's going to seem silly. They were like, can you trust blogs? I mean, like, that's like when television came out, newspapers like, can you trust the television reporters? Right, and, right, or radio, or whatever the hot medium at the time was. Mm-hmm. Laserdiscs. And... I love that. You should flip them over. They were so cute. I totally shouldn't have invested in that. But anyway, so I've never really. To me, all I can do if people don't. If you go to Deadspin and you don't trust it, then you're not going to come back. Like if it's not, I do my best to be fair, as fair as possible, but also to be as accurate as possible. Like, you know, I have a degree in journalism. You know, I was a journalist. I guess I consider myself a journalist as much as anyone considers themselves a journalist. I do write for newspapers, I do write for magazines, and so on. But like, I don't like that kind of label idea of like journalists and bloggers. Right, seems so dumb. Like, we're all just producing information. We're just using different mediums, and so I've never really quite understood the idea that you know, I can't hide from a mistake. I have made them. I mean, you know, I do 20 posts a day. Inevitably, you're gonna get something wrong, and you just can't hide from it. And that's it's certainly not fun to write a "I was wrong" post, but you have to do it. Otherwise, and that's something that you know, if someone makes a mistake from a newspaper 3 weeks ago, nobody has to do that. And that's one of the keys of the site from my perspective, anyway.
Good point.
Ooh, that was a serious answer. I should have burped or something in the middle. All right. Do you have anything else?
No, I'm done.
Do you want to have a poetry jam? We'll have a hoedown. We'll have a champagne jam.
I have more questions, but okay. I can't necessarily segue them from this point.
That's okay.
Do you want to take an audience question?
We'll do it.
Want to take an audience question?
Sure. Any questions from the audience?
Take a random one right now just to get things going again?
I didn't even notice that microphone. Okay, yeah. It's like Letterman. Yeah, stupid human tricks.
First off, I just want to thank you for coming. I checked Deadspin like 10 times a day, so to me, I was looking forward to this all week. And far, you haven't.
I'm sorry, I was at the end. Thank you.
Recently, a certain mainstream media outlet published the list of the top 20 most influential people in online sports.
Yeah.
And that list was, well, most people think it was pathetic, frankly. Even though you made the list.
That made it more pathetic. That definitely made it more
congratulations
pathetic.
For making the list.
Thanks.
Even though your position should have been number one as opposed to the number 20 it was. So what is your opinion? Do you think it's just the mainstream media does not really understand the sports blogs and the influence they really have?
It was a list of 20 people. I think if they would have had a list of 400, I would have been at 400. I think they just wanted to have like a blogger on there, and because they've noticed that there's blogs going on. And I was glad I had the most hair of everyone in the picture, by the way. But yeah, you know, stuff like that. It's just like, I had a lot of people like emailing me to like congratulate me or something like that. I don't know. I don't really think too much about it, but like that's not like in a world I really am interested in at all anyway. Like I don't care. Like if I were 1 or 20 or 50 or not on, like to me, that's not what this, that's playing by rules that I'm not interested in playing in. It doesn't mean I'm on the outside and I'm lobbing stuff. It's just like, I don't care who Rob Bowman is. I just don't, because I mean, if the average fan, if you look at that list, they knew if they knew Deadspin, they knew me. They knew Bill Simmons, they knew Peter King, and they didn't know anybody else on that list at all. And why would they care at all? Like that's a baseball trade. I mean, it's a sports trade publication. So I mean, stuff like that. You know, I think that when I saw that list, it was funny because, I mean, you know, supposedly I'm sports, this is my full-time job, so like, you know, I should know who some of these people were, and I had no idea who any of them were. Like, I had no idea, like, oh, bald guy, slightly bald guy, and guy in a nice tie. But I had like no idea who any of those people were, and that's good, and like stuff like that. Like, I think that's the other example of it, the fact that you know, MLB advanced media matters to anyone other than, I mean, the only people that matters to are people that work in the business and work in the industry and so on. And it eventually affects us in that, oh, we have to pay twice as, now we have to order MLB TV because they've taken DirecTV out of us. But like, there's the thing that's key is that like, we don't, I've never considered it like a fan empowerment thing. We don't have any power. Like, we don't have any power because we will just keep giving them money because we love sports, and that's just what's going to keep happening. So, like, to me, it's less a fan empowerment thing and just recognizing that, like, okay, we don't have to actually pay any attention to this stuff at all. We don't have to care about who's the new person on the Inside the NFL beat or so on. Like, I don't think that matters. Like, it's fine because, you know, Deadspin's been accused of being anti-ESPN or something, which I don't really understand because, like, if you're a sports fan, you have to, like, you can't escape ESPN. Like, anyone that says, oh, I never watch ESPN, then they have no idea what's going on in sports. You have to watch ESPN. And so the thing I think is interesting about it is that if you criticize ESPN, they take it, like, they hate it. Like, they absolutely can't handle it, which is weird because, like, you know, with the Harold Reynolds thing being the best story, when he was fired without explanation, it was never even announced why he was fired or anything. Like, if the Tampa Bay Devil Rays did that, if the Devil Rays fired the manager, whoever the hell's Madden, whoever that's managing the Devil Rays now, if they fired their manager for no reason whatsoever, ESPN would demand to know what was going on with that. But I guarantee you, ESPN is a much, much, much bigger part of the sports landscape than the Tampa Bay Devil Rays are. it's very strange that, like, they try to pretend that they are on the outside of the sports world when the fact is they are the sports world. Like, you can't escape ESPN from that world. So to me, like, I've noticed I don't work for ESPN, which is good because there's no way it's going to happen from either end. But like the idea that like that you would not cover the reason that people haven't covered ESPN in that way or been critical of ESPN because they wanted to work for them. they didn't want to burn bridges because in a way they're kind of the only game in town. And I really like sports, but like I can't imagine a better sports job than this. Like I honestly can't. I would not. I mean, I get to. The only people I have to answer to are the readers. So I would never. So the idea of working for ESPN or anything like that has never even occurred to me. So because of that, I'm able to freely do that. And even like asking logical questions of stuff like that, people freak out. People absolutely freak out. Now, mind you, when AJ snuck over Stuart Scott's, when my reporter snuck over Stuart Scott's shoulder and found out that he was text messaging a cheerleader, that may have been saying, let me know. I'll grant that one. But on the whole, it's like when the Berman pictures came. When the Berman pictures of him getting that lap dance at the Berman getting a lap dance, and some things you see and cannot unsee. And but like people had this idea that the paparazzi over there at Deadspin or something. But like, I mean, that was out on the internet. It existed on the planet. Like, it is in the exact same spirit of the rest of the site that, like, I link to other things that are on the web and I point out what's going on. And if I always are like, well, that could be a little embarrassing for him. I probably shouldn't do anything about that. then I, first off, I doubt ESPN would cover anything if they had that exact idea. So I don't know if I answered the question or not, but I think that's the general idea, is that, like, lists like that, like, I'm sure a bunch of people that all work in sports media had a little chuckle. Oh, little blogger boys on our list. How cute. And but whatever. It doesn't really mean anything. But I'm sure Peter King got a big kick out of it, though. I'm sure he was like, oh, I'm gonna beat Simmons next year.
So many of your story ideas come from people pointing stuff out, the tips.
Oh, the vast majority. There's an old joke about rock critics. Their job is, because they really just write about their they really just receive CDs in the mail, that their job is just to write about their mail. And my job is to write about my email, and that's great. Like, and that's one of the things that's been very encouraging to me, with occasional small exceptions, is how welcoming everyone was initially when I started the site. Like, there were a lot of really good sports blogs, but they were all, none of them were really connected. They were all kind of just like, there was one over here, one over here, and no one really like coalesced into one thing. And to me, like, it was very like, I was of the idea, like, if we can get one site that raises all other sites, if we can all just get together on this, and like, it can only help everyone. And it's totally been true. And it's funny because people talk about credit, because a lot of people are like, does it bother you when the mainstream media I was quoting somebody else, and when they like take a story and don't credit you, I mean, no. I mean, if I get upset about that, I'd be upset all the time. And but blogs never do that. Like, one of the things I really love about working with blogs is that, like, even someone that's worked as a journalist forever that I'd never done a blog, just see that they, like, they're so insistent on, we got this from here, hat tip to so on, and like, you so rarely see that in regular in newspapers, or definitely never seen it on television. And so I love that kind of ethos. That's very exciting to me, the idea that, like, hey, we're all on the same team here. Like, we're all just trying to have fun with this and so on. That's been very exciting to have happen, and I was hoping that would be the way that it was when I started the site, and it has been. And I've just tried to perpetuate that a little bit, because there's so much good stuff on the web. There's so much good sports stuff that it was funny when ESPN about a year ago did a story on Page Two about Voyeur Nation of and they had look we had the pictures of Ben Roethlisberger, Kyle Orton drinking, and they ran this statistics story about like the web denizens are Voyeur Nation. All they want to do is just see athletes looking stupid or whatever they did. But it was funny because, you know, it drove a few people to the site that hadn't been there before, and I really felt like obliged to do like a hey everybody. Welcome to the non-ESPN sports world, and because I think that because there's so much, most people just didn't know it existed, and I think thought it was all just message board screaming or so on. So it's been so to me to see all that there are so many good and talented voices out there, and more people getting to see them. That was kind of the idea in the first place. And I also wanted to be able to I'm a writer, you know, one of the reasons I started the site in the first place, because I wanted more people to be able to see my work, you know, I mean, and be able to get more opportunities to write more places, and that's actually worked, but I mean, like, there's just so much good stuff out there. I just wanted people to be able to see it, I guess, which is, yeah, more people know, but still, you know, I don't want to get too carried away about it. Like, ESPN, like, gets, like, 1,000 times the traffic of all the sports blogs combined. We don't want to get carried away about this. So, like, it's fun, and you can tell that it's certainly going in a good direction, but, I mean, we're still nothing compared to the average sports fan has no idea what Deadspin is, so, which is probably good.
You mentioned previously that you're also doing magazine work and you know, more typical journalism. Do you find are you able to keep those two parts of your brain separate? The writing for the blog, the writing for the, or do they need to be kept separate? Or have you found any? Has blogging improved your other writing, or is there any sort of crossover there?
I think I'm working on a book right now too, and the main difference really is that I can't use the royal we anymore. I can't. It's so pretentious, and I'm sorry I do that, but. But I mean, honestly, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. I've never considered like Deadspin like this. Like, well, this is the easy part. I don't actually have to do any work on this one. Like, I bust my ass on this site. So, like, you know, I think that I think that when I do magazine stuff, like, I'll try to, like, be aware of, like, the tone of the magazine. But, like, you know, during the tournament, I'm actually writing a daily column for Time Select, the New York Times thing. Right. That you have to pay some more. Yeah. So, which is, we'll probably have, like, 5 readers. And, but I'm doing that during the tournament, and I asked them. I was like, "So listen, do you guys want me to do I have to call people Mister on second reference or something?" And they were like, "No, like basically that, you know, they're like, just do your thing, just don't, you know, say fuck, you know." So, can I say fuck in the sorry? I don't know if I can say that. I messed up the podcast. Sorry, bleep me. but that's the thing, is that like I don't really consider it that much different. Writing is writing, and the only thing different is I can't say we anymore.
We've got a question.
Thank you.
Yeah. Will, I'm Matt Fredericks. I work at ESPN.com.
Oh, hi. What's your last name?
If I banned any of you recently, I can buy you a beer.
Don't boo him.
I'll buy you a beer afterwards if I banned any of you recently.
What's your last name?
Fredericks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I find a lot of the stuff that happens on the site amusing. So, and a lot of people inside ESPN read it and are amused. Mm-hmm. And obviously there are issues with the brand management that I don't really want to go into, because that's not my job.
Right.
But I did want to ask you about this thing about writing for different publications. Mm-hmm. What was it like to have an op-ed piece in the New York Times about Mark McGwire and the home run chase the same day that you had to write a completely different tone piece about Barry Bonds and the amphetamine story on the front of Deadspin?
Yeah, well, I think that, like, well, I mean, I wrote a story I wrote an op-ed for the Times, basically. That's for me. And, Mom, I'll call you later. An op-ed for the Times, basically, about, like, how in the midst of all the steroid business, people forget how actually good that night was that McGwire hit that home run. And I didn't feel like that it excused what was going on. But, like, that was actually a legitimately good night, and good things came out of that night. People remember. Everyone forgets Tim Fornaris now. Everyone was, like, half the people, the cynics, were all like, what an idiot. I can't believe he gave the ball back. But there was actually, like, a very warm, good sports moment out of the night. I kind of wanted to remember that. My big thing about steroids, I don't actually really care about steroids all that much. If you could find a steroid, if you could find a drug that that you can inject into people that had absolutely no side effects whatsoever, did nothing but cure all physical ailments, and everyone could take it, and everything was healthy. Would we have a problem with that? Like, what's a cortisone shot? I mean, and so anyway, but that's off topic anyway. But the point is that like, yeah, it's first off, that's the Times thing sounded a lot smarter because they're editors. but yeah, I think that like I don't really consider it that different because I hope the reason they wanted me to write that in the first place because they'd seen the writing that was on the side every day. I don't think that they thought that I think they knew what they were getting. But yeah, I think that like it's a little strange to sometimes I tend whenever I write for other places I tend to not point it out in Deadspin. I tend to not be like, hey, look what I did, yeah, ha ha, like because it's I feel like in that way they're separate. But other than that, like I feel like the tone's very similar. So I think there was something that day about the Bonds thing with him, and Amphetamines came out, but I don't think the tone was like what kind of example is Bond setting for our children, you know, and I hope not. I don't remember the post, but I hope it wasn't. But so that's the kind of thing. I mean, there's gonna be differences in everything, and obviously there are times where there are jokes I will make on Deadspin that when I do the Times thing this week I won't make. But on the whole I think it's just a matter of knowing the audience, just with anything else. See, he's nice. All the ESPN people are very nice. Every ESPN person I've ever met is really nice. Except for Salisbury, if I haven't met him yet. He's going to kick my ass. With a battle bot.
I want to thank you for using the email I sent you for the Big 12 preview this year. But if I'd known you were going to quote the entire email verbatim, I would have mentioned something about Texas. But that's
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. My apologies. I think I warned you. I said I was going to quote. I don't think I was like, wah!
I'm actually part of another blogging group in Seattle. I've been doing a contest for best blog in Seattle, and the finalists are USS Mariner and Lookout Landing. Mm-hmm.
And you want an endorsement? Huh? Don't make me do it. Do you want an endorsement?
Not if you want to give one.
They're both great.
They are. But what I keep getting this blowback about, well, you always talk about baseball, but like, what about Sonics? What about Seahawks? Mm. I'm like, well, for one thing, we don't give a damn about the Sonics anymore. But I noticed that there's up there we got a dozen plus baseball Mariners blogs. Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
Yeah.
We're awful. We have very few Sonics, very few Seahawks. Mm-hmm. There's always been this kind of trend towards baseball. Why do you think that is? And do you think Deadspin is helping the other sports? Mm-hmm. Is it helping build?
Yeah. Well, you can probably speak to this a little bit too. Yeah. But like, and I'll just ask you. But I feel like one of the things, great baseball happens every day.
Yeah,
like there's something. Go ahead. You've done a lot more baseball blogging than I have.
That exactly. Baseball happens every day, and then there is the whole long hot stove season. Plus, I think there's far more wannabe sports writers in baseball, and a lot of people go into blogging basically to try to as a calling card to try to get a mainstream media job. I mean, I think that plays a huge role in it too.
Yeah,
and it is just it's a more literary game in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
it's
baseball just, fans. Baseball's my favorite sport, by the way. But baseball fans are saps. Like it's because when you compare the average baseball site to like the like I always think of Kissing Susie Colbert, which was originally a group of Deadspin commenters. The thing I love about them is they have absolutely no reverence for the game of football at all, because like football markets itself is like you don't hear football fans talking about the beautiful days of yesteryear back in the you know, they're just like, we're gonna like it's everyone's on steroids and we don't care, you know, and I like that. And but I think baseball typically, even before the web, obviously has appealed to the writer and so on. So I think because of that, there's definitely been more in that. And there's a different drama every night. And like, you really like the thing I love about baseball. That's why the MLB DirecTV thing is killing me. Is that like you really feel like you get to know all these guys. I guarantee you, if I met Albert Pujols, we would probably not like each other and have very little to talk about. And other than that, like, he's awesome. but as far as I'm concerned, like, you know, Albert Pujols is a part of my life every single day, and I absolutely love him for it. But he's not a human being, like, to me. Like, he's not, and nor should he be. Otherwise, like, Bill Simmons has a famous quote of, what if I met, I think he said Paul Pierce. What if I met Paul Pierce and he turned out to be a dick? And I think that's really true. Like, I don't want to know if Pujols is a jerk or not. So I just want to see him hit homers.
Hi, two questions. First one is, I'm a reader of the Houston Chronicle online, and I've noticed over the past year they've had a lot of their sports columnists create blogs. I don't know if that's a nationwide trend where the traditional sports journalists are taking back the web and trying to squeeze out, you know, the little guy who's trying to make it. But I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. Do you think that columnists around the country are going to continue to do that? It's going to be a trend? Because if so, it's a little disturbing.
Yeah, I think it's better when reporters do it than when columnists do it. I think there is like I actually don't have like a huge problem with it because like frankly, if someone like I always think of Dan Steinberg, he does the DC sports blog for the Washington Post. That's his full time job is to do that blog, and it's great. Like it's really like it's a great mix of like he actually understands what a blog is and understands some of the ideas of it. But when you see like a guy, it's very amusing. There's a columnist in Minnesota. One of the papers in Minnesota. I love that there's a tabloid war in Minnesota, by the way, that there's like newspapers fighting each other. And but he has a blog, but it's really just like inevitably it's just like, I don't understand this newfangled technology. They tell me I want a website. I don't know. I'm just gonna type these kids with their like it's so funny. So like I think that like inevitably the thing I always try to focus on this stuff is that like it's just a medium. Like that's all that it is. And so inevitably they're gonna find ways to do it. I think it's better for information. As a big St. Louis Cardinals fan or a big Arizona Cardinals fan, I'm starved for information about that team. So if there's something that doesn't make it into their newspaper, they put it on the blogs. That's okay. I don't have a big problem with that. But again, it's a matter of getting it and knowing how to do it. Dan Steinberg does it very well. Michael Rand does it very well for the Minneapolis Star Tribune. And I think it's the Star Tribune. I get the same ones.
Have you seen the Bradford on Baseball blog?
Bradford Doolittle?
No, he's a reporter from the Lawrence Eagle Tribune. The Red Sox.
Oh.
Star of the Reds. It's been just phenomenal.
Yeah, I think if you get it.
Yeah,
he gets it,
and it's just been—it's like his reports from spring training have been what I've been wanting to read from spring training my whole life. Where he actually just gets all the stories out there and just posting a lot.
Don't get me wrong; I understand the idea of like, oh, here they like now that ESPN has like the big blogs, like the idea of like screen. I understand the idea of the screen of the little guy, but one of the things I really like about the web is that like if you're good, people will find you.
Yeah,
that's one of the things I really like about it. So like, and yes, maybe. If you've got ESPN behind you, more people are going to see you initially. But if you're good, people will find you. And that's very exciting to me. And like, I think people always have this idea that Gawker Media has put some like big publicity push behind sites when they launch. They don't. Like after the first week, they were like, all right, well, you better get those numbers up or we're going to cancel this little experiment. And like, but there was no just like, okay, now we're going to put your name, your sign on the side of buses. So like, the key is just doing it all the time, being good at it. So some people do it for different reasons. Some people do it just for fun. Some people want to get a sports writing job. But if you're good and you take it seriously, people do tend to find you in one way or the other. So
yeah, it seems like these guys who are doing it in Houston, that the paper is making them do it because...
Yeah,
I've talked to one of them, and they seem to have no life.
Yeah,
they have a daily column.
I'm sure it's just a burden. I'm sure it's just annoying to a lot of people.
And then my follow up question is, there's a lot of new businesses trying to make a business out of creating a sports blog ecosystem like Fan Nation or sports blogs, etc. Do you think there's a business there to where, you know, the average Joe fan creates their blog among thousands? And
I mean, I'm certainly not an expert in the business side of stuff because I never even know what ads are on the site until they show up, which has been different than every other newspaper or magazine I've ever. Inevitably, you have to write for the magazine. You have to write for some advertising supplement that the advertising people want you to do. There's this. It's ironically, I've always been a much bigger line between church and state in blogs than I've ever journalism wise. I've ever found in newspapers and magazines. But anyway, I think that like anything else, more and more people are going to keep reading blogs. Like, there's just no question about that. Like, it's not going to be like in a year they'll be like, oh man, I remember when blogs were cool, but now it's I no longer find this a good way to get information. Like, I don't see that that's ever going to happen. So I think, but with anything, when something's popular, people will find a way to monetize it. So I think AOL's done a pretty good job. I don't know how the finances are, but like they were very smart and they're like, okay, there are tons of people out there that are blogging for free to do this. Let's toss them $15 or whatever much they pay them for a post, and they've done a good job of corralling that. I find their site harder to read in a macro sense. I read the Cardinals page or so on page, but as for sheer number of eyeballs, I mean, they've done a pretty good job with that. So
And there's been a handful of people, well, not a handful, probably two, that make their living off their blogs, like Dave Pinto from Baseball Musings, for instance.
I don't know how those guys do it either, because I talked to the guy that does Inside Hoops, and he like sells all the ads himself. Yeah. Like, I would have no idea how to do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like I do have a clear advantage that, with Gawker. Like, you know, they take care of the ads, take care of that stuff. Like, I don't have to worry about that. And because they don't know anything about sports, they completely leave me alone. So I have that advantage too, but like, I have such respect for people that can pull that off, because I the site could be huge and I would have no ads because I would have no idea how to sell an ad.
Hi, my name's Trey. I work for Sports Blogs Nation.
Oh, okay.
And, I wanted to just kind of actually build off that question a little bit. One of the things you said that I thought was really interesting is that you kind of like write about what you think the fans thinking about sports, which I think is interesting for that conversation you were just having about the journalists starting to do it, because it's in the kind of anecdote you gave about in the box, how you know, the play, and then they like write it down, right?
So you root for a quick game.
So the blogging from those sources kind of strikes me that way to some degree as well, and so it seems like it's a unique space, and I wonder. You know, we're obviously building, you know, this big network of all these blogs, blah, blah, blah. But it's been, our whole thing is like giving voices to the fans, right? Like giving them the platform. And I wonder if you think that could actually work within like an AOL or an ESPN or any of that.
I think that you have to, like, I think you, as I said before, you can tell when someone is not into it, into doing it, and like you can tell it on ESPN, you can tell it on SI, you can tell when like certain people are not into writing for the web, and you have to, and they feel like they have to. So I think that the main thing is that like you see, like, if someone has something to say, you can't like. It's the same thing happened with the commenters. Like the commenters on Deadspin, it really has become kind of like a community type thing. But if I had designed that to happen, it would have never worked. Like you have to go into it from a good place. You can't be like, okay, well now I'm going to blog because that's what all the kids are doing. Right. Like you can't do it that way. And I think you see that a lot at some of the larger sites where like the idea that like, oh well, we can do a blog, and it's just like, you know, I will never be convinced that Jay Billis is going to be comfortable blogging, and I like Jay Billis. I actually like Jay Billis quite a bit, but I just don't believe I don't believe Dick Vitale's blog is written by Dick Vitale. You can probably answer to this, but the poor guy on the other side of the phone. Yes, baby. That's the thing, is I think it's more of a matter of like the reason I think AOL and Sports Blog Nation I think have worked pretty well is because these are people that like they are fans, and fans are not, I keep coming back to this, but like fans are not these morons. They're just like, woo, I hate that trade, I love that trade, and then doing all these magic things. They're very smart people. Like this, like the Sports Blog Nation blogs, like I get better info from those guys than I do most of the beat reporters from what's going on. Now the beat reporters aren't doing a great job, and obviously they're using them as a source material for a lot of things, but definitely they're writing in a way that I understand and in the way that I speak, and I think most of the people that are online reading speak, than the news and notes column that a beat reporter is doing. So to me, I think that's why those have been successful.
Just one more question. What do you think about like other formats like podcasting and vlogging and stuff like that? Like, I mean, you know.
There are people that do that, and right, it's great.
That's your answer.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. I personally never listen or watch any of them, but I know some people do. I know some people do. So I think that may be a personal preference on my thing. I mean, I have to say I've never... I know I'm at a... This is a horrible thing to say at South by Southwest Interactive. I've never listened to a podcast, ever. I'm sorry, I never have. I watched 24 on my iPod at the gym, but that's probably the extent of it. I'm sorry.
Hi, my name is Mark, and I run a sports TV sort of mashup, and I think our demographic is sports fans, but it's a little geekier than, I guess, your average sports fan. Mm-hmm. And I kind of find us sometimes in between these two different spheres of the geeks and the sports. So when we contact the sports outlet, we're a little too geeky, and we talk to the geeks, and they don't really care about sports. So I'm curious, your success, you have people who are checking it 10 times a day. How do you think you sort of bridge that gap between geeks and sports fans? Is it just the amazing content, or is it more of just
it's
a blog becoming,
or
is the blog just becoming more mainstream, not really a geeky thing?
I think it's, I think it is becoming more mainstream. But listen, the key to the site has always been the time that I, like, it's funny because I don't have time to check blogs anymore because I'm always working on this one so much. But man, like, there was nothing, like, when you're at a job or you just want to get it to 6 o'clock, you want to get the hell out of there. Like, I mean, I feel like the site is for people who are bored at work. That's why I'm always surprised to have so many people, are lawyers that read the site. And I think it's because, you know, I mean, it's billable hours, man. You have to stay. Like, I didn't realize this. I was dating a lawyer recently, and I didn't realize you actually have to – they're like, well, you have to stay till 7:30. Why? We're billing the client for it. So I guess they're checking Deadspin when they're doing that. But, like, that's the thing is that, like, that's always been the target audience. The target audience for me is someone that, like, is stuck at their job and just would, like every half hour or so would like a distraction or something to like – You know, we know how it goes. It's like with the tournament. There's always those stupid stories that come out every year about, like, American productivity is decreased, blah 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 percent by the tournament, which is ridiculous, of course, because, like, people will always find a way to waste time at work. And so and I actually love that. Like, I never really felt like I was wasting time when I was checking blogs all the time. As long as I got the work done, I didn't think it mattered too much. And I think that is the target audience. So that those are the people I've always gone for, are people that, like, people, like, you know, I think the majority of readers, people have had the idea, like, there's a college site or something. I don't think the average Deadspin reader is a college person. I think they're post-college. I think they're stuck at a desk job all day, and they want something to do to distract them. And because that's why I read blogs when I was working at a desk.
And to tie that into the previous question, I think that's the big hurdle for vlogging and podcasts is you can't – unless you have a really crazy job, you can't really, you know, do that at work where you can check Deadspin and you can go to other places in a little bit and bury it if the boss comes by or whatever. You can't do that with your headphones on and the screen on there.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, I mean, and also, frankly, most bloggers, pretty hideous looking. I'm actually using my deep voice for this because I knew it was going to be on a podcast. But ordinarily, I'm just like, hi. Hello. Sorry, that's the microphone there. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Will. My name's Matt, and I wanted to ask you a little bit more about the Deadspin community and why you think it's worked out so well. Like, even though it can be kind of boorish at times, I think the one webpage really had the most range of human emotion I've ever seen is when the Broncos defensive back died at the same time as the Boise State bowl game. It was just incredible, like, the change in emotion. I just wonder why you think it works so well on your site, but on other sites like ESPN where they had to close their beta on commenting. You know, what you think it is.
By the way, do you know the guy that had to deal with that? I actually felt
that
really... That was you? You're the one that had to deal with it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Oh, wow. That's so awesome. Get back up here. Yeah, seriously. Give this guy a round of applause. I can't believe you had to do that. I'm so sorry.
My boss asked me to kick Deadspin. I feel like doing that, but I have to say that overall, I was pretty amused that afternoon. The main problem was that people that work in offices were very concerned about the brand, and they kind of panicked about things.
Of course, I'm sure.
We have brought comments back on headline news stories,
across columns
across the site. Really, the only place you can't comment right now is page 2, and I expect that you will see those again sometime in the future.
Okay, off record, this isn't a podcast or anything. Simmons was pissed, wasn't he? He should have been. I'd have been.
I'm not going to comment about Simmons, but if you read Simmons's From Russia with Love column, you'll note that he references about 2/3 of the things that the commenters did to his column the previous day. The Anna Kournikova thing, that people wanted classic Simmons. He went to Kournikova. They mentioned the intern. He went to that. They were spamming the comments section with excerpts from Joyce. He references Joyce.
Oh,
I mean,
really?
If you read it closely, and
that's awesome.
Off the record, but you can mention if you want.
Okay,
just don't
that's awesome.
Get
that's
me
awesome.
In trouble.
That's right. Don't worry. It's not on a podcast or anything.
You're right. Thanks.
I did feel bad. I'll get to the question in a second. I'm sorry. But I did actually feel bad. For those that don't know the story, by the way, essentially, the day that ESPN turned on the comments, it was honestly like the Deadspin comments were like, whee! They're like running naked to the streets on ESPN conversation, and you actually are the one that had to delete them. Oh, but it turned out they did it on Simmons' column, and I think that I felt bad for him because inevitably when people really felt like they were like rushing through the streets, and I think that like I think they said some things that like I tend to not be a fan of, like, you know, jokes about someone's wife or child, for example. So I think it was unfortunate that it went that way. But I think the general spirit of the thing, he was just in the crossfire. I don't think it was so much after Simmons. But anyway, the point is that I think that the thing about the comments that's really fun to me is that, like, it's very, like it's so bewildering to there's Deadspin all night now and people just sit and comment on the last post of the day and they just, I wake up in the morning and there's like 700 comments on there and it's funny and you know Gawker is a comment invite only site and it's not really hard to get one, all you really got to do is ask, but it does, like I think that is part of the thing is there aren't people, you actually have to have a login to be able to go in and comment, so you can't just have people that have found it through Google. It's always kind of fun to go because I actually now have a guy that takes care of the comments things for me because the site was suffering. I was working so much on it, but I think it's fine when you go through and see the comments that people have just left, not realizing they need a comment invite. And if those comments all just went up on the site, we would not be talking about how cool the Deadspin comedy community is. The thing that's cool about it is that like there's a certain like. You know, if someone is putting up bad comments, they're called out. And like then the thing about that is like it really did just happen organically. Like I was actually very nervous about comments at first. I was very worried that like it would I was obviously wrong, but like I was very worried about comments at work at first. It was gonna become message board or chat room type of stuff, and it hasn't. And I think it's because when it started, the initial people that were reading the site initially were like found the site initially, you had to be kind of like, you know, keep an eye out for it. You had to be looking for something like that. And so I think the level of discourse was relatively high when we started, and I think it's just kind of filtered down and kept that way going. But it's awesome. And I really occasionally someone will do something a little shady, but on the whole I no longer feel there I don't feel like I no longer like do a post and be like, okay, I hope they can handle this. And like they don't. They're just great. So they're much funnier than I am.
What are you prouder of entering the American English vernacular? Carl Monday is watching you masturbate, or You're With Me Leather?
Great question.
By the way, the You're With Me Leather thing is the weirdest. Did you guys see the Las Vegas episode where they actually like created the Las Vegas episode? They actually recreated the circumstances of the creation of You're With Me Leather. It was the weirdest thing I'd ever seen, and like no one ever claimed that. By the way. No, like I thought there'd be like a writer for the show. Like it was on TRL. And hi. Oh, you're saying 5 minutes. I just thought she's like a high five.
Bro.
but I have to say my personal favorite story of all of like when we had the Sports Human thing, my favorite story is actually the Carl Monday story because there's something very novelistic about it and something like this had all these great characters and they were all hilarious and there was like a sequel that no one was expecting and it was so great. But I have to say the You're With Me Leather thing, I think there are people that don't know that came from Deadspin. Like the Wikipedia page for You're With Me Leather is longer than it is for Deadspin. Like it's definitely that it's funny because I'm sure everyone at ESPN.com has a direct line to Berman's office. So just do a David You're With Me Weathers line. That's all he has to do. No, most people just do baseball and I say coming to close for the Reds. David You're With Me Weathers. The vast majority of people will have no idea what he's talking about, and everyone else will be like, hey, Berman's kind of cool. I respect that. That's pretty good. But of course, I don't think Berman is necessarily the type of guy to do that. But the thing that was fun about it, because that was one of the first off, it sounds like an ESPN catchphrase. Secondly, it became a way in the early days of the site when it still kind of felt like something that everyone had just kind of stumbled on, it became like a way to like communicate that you were in on what was going, that you actually like were paying attention and could do it, that you noticed the site without it was why Tony Kornheiser could say You're With Me Leather on his radio show without saying go visit deadspin.com or something. It became a way for people that in joke among people, because I think early on a lot of people that were reading the site were people that worked in sports media. So I think I'm glad those days are over, by the way. It's a lot more fun now. But I think that it became a way to do that, and it just kind of grew from that. When it was on TRL, honestly, like the host from TRL like takes off and does the You're With Me Leather shirt, and there's like the 13-year-old confused kids, girls there, going, I don't know what that means, but yay! So yeah, anybody else? Yes, sir. No, there will be no. I've written two books already. Those are pre-Deadspin, and then you should still buy them on Amazon.com, and they'll touch your heart, or they'll touch something, and But I have two more books I'm working on now. The first one will probably come out end of this year or beginning of next year. That is a sports book. It's a book of sports essays that are hopefully they're very about the idea of the much of what we talked about here about the idea of fans and like they want to make it into like a take back the games type of thing. I'm not militant or anything enough to be able to do something like that. But it's supposed to be funny. Like it's essentially a look at the sports world through an outsider's perspective and a fan perspective, and hopefully it will be amusing or it will just be. You're with me, leather. Hey, look, you're with me, leather. And this is my horrible fear. In like 15 years, I'm gonna be in like a dinner theater somewhere. I remember you're with me, leather. Those are the halcyon days. We really shocked it to those guys. But and the second book is a novel about a kid that's obsessed with Kurt Cobain and wants to kill himself on the anniversary of Kurt Cobain's suicide. So it's a fun one. And it's an uplifting little ditty. So, all right. Anybody else? You got anything else?
No, I'm set.
Okay. What time is it? Oh, good. We actually made it. You didn't give me like a... I want to have like a countdown. Two. One. Oh, she's just ignoring me now. Oh, two. Oh, sweet. Okay. I would like to... No, I have not, we have two more minutes. Otherwise, the last chance for a question. I'm going to do the applause line. Okay, last chance. Thank you guys all for coming. I appreciate you guys coming out.